Howdy, 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 everyone. Welcome back to a Not Carhartt episode of Texish, the show about some things Texas.
And some things overalls.
We've got a really fun show in store for you all today.
Tito's and Shiner, gonna be an all-nighter, and I just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women, man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
But first, as always, your favorite segment.
And ours.
Our not sponsors. Still who's giving our, us no money.
Who's our first not sponsor?
Our first not sponsor is Liquid Death.
Liquid Death.
It's like if a Hot Topic and Bring Me the Horizon had a baby, it's Liquid Death. If you took all of Johnny Depp's bracelets and made them into a can, it would be Liquid Death. Melt down a chain wallet and a skateboard, and guess what you get?
Liquid Death. It's like Topo Chico on steroids. It's Liquid Death.
It's Liquid Death,
liquid
not
death.
Crystal meth. And this is a pop punk song.
Affliction, if affliction made water.
It's buckle water.
Buckle. You remember the buckle?
Yeah, buckle where you got tap out shirts.
Yeah,
and
where douchebags go to be douchebags.
Yeah, it's like if Ed Hardy made a drink.
It's like, hey,
but also give
I'm
us money.
Douche.
Liquid Death.
I like how it makes me feel like I'm drinking beer even when I'm not.
Oh, dude, I like how it's like, I'm not drinking alcohol. I'm sober.
I'm super sober. Guys, I'm actually like extreme sober.
Dad, I haven't had alcohol since I was 15 and it's my 17th birthday. All I want is a case of Liquid Death.
Dude, nothing makes you feel like a man like cracking into a can of sparkling water.
With a skull on it.
Liquid Death.
Who's our other not sponsor after this Liquid Death ASMR?
1, 2, 3. Oh, I just a little bit. Please bleep that out.
I was wondering what you said. Who is our other not sponsor?
Our other not sponsor is soccer.
Soccer!
Europe's answer to football. It's soccer.
It's a game you play when you can't play any other games. It's soccer.
What, are you just going to run around and kick a little ball everywhere?
Soccer! I've been looking for a hot wife that plays soccer, and thank God I found one.
Soccer! True story, soccer chicks are the hottest chicks.
Soccer. True story, it's very undeniable. My wife was wonderful at soccer, and she's still very hot.
Soccer. How the hell do we keep score? What's going on? Is that a foul? Why does it matter what line they cross and win? I don't understand any of this game. It's soccer.
Okay, total transparency, though, because I used to be the...
Total transparency, yeah.
We're usually lying. Now it's time for vulnerability. I used to be the I don't get soccer guy.
Safe space.
But married Jenny, so I went to some of her soccer games.
Sure.
And I was just watching her, so I still didn't really comprehend why soccer is so popular. I understand that it's hard, but from a spectator perspective, couldn't figure out what the thing is. Mm-hmm. Then going to Austin FC games, shouts out Austin FC.
FC?
And watching soccer and also having someone who played it explain what's going on.
Sure.
I totally get now why it's called The Beautiful Game.
Do you have the Liquid Death burps?
I do a little bit.
So here's my theory. And yeah. I agree, because it's kind of like whenever we had the rugby guys teach us what rugby was, mm-hmm. it made it really fun. So I've been watching the rugby championships with our buddy Robin, mm-hmm. and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like a lot of things about it. The game never stops, which mm-hmm. is awesome.
It's just 90, like baseball.
It's 90 minutes. It's clean. You know exactly how long to prep for.
Yeah.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Same thing with soccer.
Yeah.
I think soccer is the most popular because, like, it doesn't matter if you've just got a wad of dirty laundry, you can still play soccer.
Yeah. That, and I mean, truly, the World Cup this past year, watching, there was one sequence, it was the Argentinian team, like, mm-hmm. they just had this beautiful passing sequence that led to Messi scoring a really just sick goal. And that, for me, was the picture of, like, this is why you watch this and call it The Beautiful Game, because just the idea that... there's no plays. Like in football, there's a play. Downside hut. I know what everyone's doing. You can predict what's happening. And soccer, guys just have to know where someone's going to be.
Yeah.
Like there is no, okay, let's run this play. There's just get the ball in the goal. And then you just assume someone's going to be there and like kick it through a defender. It's just so cool. So cool. It's The Beautiful Game. I love it.
Soccer has grown on me for very specific reasons.
Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
We're gonna get there.
We're gonna get there. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
You see what I did though?
But yeah. Yeah, it's the first Lasso cast in a minute. All right. So
all right, starting off, I want to hear about
Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time. Once Upon a Time in Texas history.
Once
what happened?
Once Upon a Time in Texas history. The year was 1875. So pretty early on in our Texas origins. There was a pretty bitter rivalry already going on between the cities of Dallas and Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summer of 1875, a Dallas journalist wrote an article bashing Fort Worth, claiming that Fort Worth is so sleepy and lazy, like nothing's going on there, to the point that he himself witnessed a panther walk into the middle of town,
mm-hmm.
take a nap in the middle of the street, get up, and walk out, and no one did or said anything about it. The whole thing was like, these people are so derelict and lazy.
Mm-hmm.
A panther was in the middle of town. No one did anything. Fort Worth immediately adopts the panther as their town's mascot. Just immediately is like, we're Panther City. That's who we are. And a few weeks later, they bought two panther cubs.
Okay.
And a group of Fort Worthians went to downtown Dallas and paraded around these panther cubs.
Fort Worthian, is that the accepted nomenclature for somebody from Fort Worth?
I don't know. I'm still not a local. I moved, by the way. I live in Fort Worth now.
Yeah, gonna live in Fort Worth.
Yeah, thus, Panther City.
If you don't have a panther tattoo inside of a year, you did it wrong.
I'm going to get the one like on my forearm.
Let's
like,
do it.
Yeah, heck yeah. Yeah. I looked this up because Panther City Barbecue, mm-hmm. Panther City Records.
Right.
Panther City. I just noticed there's a lot of panther stuff and that seems random.
Yeah.
This is the origin story. So they immediately adopt like we're Panther City. They parade the panther cubs around. The first minor league baseball team in Fort Worth was the Fort Worth Cats.
Mm-hmm.
The first high school mascot, Fort Worth High School Panthers. So they just ran.
They
like,
leaned the heck in. They Sheryl Sandberg the crap.
Because they're not Dallas snobs. They're actually fun, cool people. Unlike the weird, snobby East Coast like Dallas people.
Dude, look, if Austin's Los Angeles, Dallas is New York. I don't mean that in a good way.
No, seriously, Dallas is New York because they write crap like this. And then Fort Worth is real Texas because they're like, you know what?
Like, whatever.
We are Panther City.
Yeah.
Let's just buy some.
Hell yeah. They double down.
So
like
yes.
a real Texan.
Yeah, they double down they like double a real
town.
Even if their opinion's wrong, like in a real down. Texan, they double down on their thoughts on this.
If your parents are from Texas, you know exactly you what know, we're talking
about. You have
about.
Been at those dinners. it does not have to be Thanksgiving for a family dinner to go south real quick because dad just won't give it up.
Won't give it up. Won't give the panther up.
No, won't give the panther up. So yeah, summer 1875 is when Fort Worth officially became Panther
City. The Leonine
City.
Summer.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you.
And just a disclaimer, technically, because people might be like, well, panthers are
about
jungle creatures.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Technically, a mountain lion can, like the common nomenclature for a mountain lion, which is a Texas-based native creature.
Yeah.
Panther, cougar, puma,
mm-hmm.
all can describe a mountain lion. Like you can see a mountain lion.
Dope.
They're
crazy.
And horrifying.
Horrifying.
Absolutely horrifying.
One of the craziest things about living in Los Angeles is you've got these mountain lions tagged and tracked.
Yeah.
So you can see like their movement patterns and mm-hmm. whatnot.
Because they're up in the the Angeles Mountains, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Gabriel Park, what is it? Griffith Observatory, right?
There's one that hangs out at Griffith Observatory because they have giant territories.
Yeah.
And they don't like interact.
They don't play well.
They don't play well together.
Yeah, with anybody.
If there are two panthers in a territory, one of them will
kill the other one.
I was going to say win, but yeah. They will terminate the other one.
They'll send the other one to a farm to play with all the other.
But these cats are crazy because they will stalk hikers.
Yeah.
There are videos you can find online of people like walking to their car, filming the panther just in case something happens. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Just their farewell videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if anybody finds this, please get my beanie out of my house at Echo Park.
Meanwhile, back in Big Bend, they're like, we're trying to get as many panthers
dude,
as
we possibly
Big
can.
Ben,
they're like, just let them be. Just
let them be.
Let them kill the bears. It's fine.
We have too many bears now. We're trying to get a fight ring going
there's
on.
There's now 7 bears in Big Bend, so we need the 48 cougars to kill them. That's basically what Big Ben has done. I love it when the city folk here in Los Angeles, Texas.
Austin, Los Angeles, Texas.
We're not saying that in a negative way. No.
Los Angeles has a lot of great parks.
Gotta love a callback.
We're doubling down.
Like they'll be like, oh, I can't wait to go to Big Ben. It's so peaceful. It's just going to be this great thing. And in my head, I think you might get mauled by a mountain lion because you have no idea
Well, my favorite
that part there's is, predators there.
I mean, the Bears coming back is new. Not everybody knows they're around. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance you're some LA snob who goes to, you know, Marfa and takes a pit stop at
Camp Bend. Yeah, because you just want to have some fun and you're going to come across a black bear.
A black bear and shit your pants.
I also love when it comes to bears, people always, you're going somewhere, you're going to go hiking, are there bears? And people will be like, yeah, but it's just black bears. Oh, so you mean a bear?
So you mean a bear?
So a bear? A bear that's just not 8 feet tall?
So you mean something that can kill you with its face? Yeah,
and has done that before? But you know what I mean?
You know
people
what I mean?
Always say, well, it's just black, a black bear.
And you're like,
so a bigger, faster.
Hey, man. Black bears climb trees.
Yeah.
That's not a
with
like,
food
that's
in their
the,
mouth.
That's like the thing you want to do to get
their
away.
Paw is still bigger than
the
my
number
face.
One thing I would do if I saw a bear run and climb a tree. Yeah. They can follow me.
Yeah. Yeah. If I see a bear, the first thing I think is, wait, is that a black bear?
Because that's what I'm thinking.
Are we cool?
What kind of bear? Oh, it's a black bear. Fine.
We're fine.
Come on
hey,
in.
Come hey, on come over. Here. Get your cougar friend.
You know what? I just made some fish on the campfire. You come on down. Come you take hang. It.
It'll be fine. It's
you're
whatever.
Being my buddy.
Everyone knows black bears are
you
the
see
nicest.
A black bear. Hey, boo-boo.
Out of context. Out of context? This conversation sounds horrible. <I'm> sure. You want to hear about our small town of the week?
Small town of the week.
We need to make these more pop punk because I like the pop punk pun that I did earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how would you do this
one? This is the small town of the week. Where are you?
Where are you?
Our small town of the week.
Where is it?
There it is. There it is. Where is it?
Small town of the week.
All right. Cool. Speaking of cool, our small town of the week is Cool, Texas.
Cool, Texas.
A city so inconsequential that after all of my research, the best I can find on the small town of Cool, Texas, C-O-O-L, Texas,
yeah,
is that Cool, Texas and its 128 residents is a small village.
128. Love it.
Is a small village outside of the small town of Mineral Wells, which is outside of the normal sized town of Weatherford, which is outside of the normal sized city, Fort Worth.
Right.
Cool, Texas.
Cool, Texas.
That's it.
So that the claim to fame is the concentric circles
of bigness. Of
bigness.
Yeah.
Shrinking.
Exactly. And that was our small town of the week.
Where is it?
It's the small town of the week. Texas Bros goes pop Texas, punk.
It's the liquid goes death, pop punk.
You drink liquid death and you're just like, where are you? Ocean Avenue.
We got to do a full on pump.
When
punk.
I was a young boy.
We got to do a full on pop punk episode of Texas.
Bring
just,
Mike back.
Just bring Mike back.
That's Mike. Also, well, shout out
we'll
Mike
actually
Gonzalez.
Have him in studio with drums.
With drums. And we just
can,
a random
can just cue us in. You
yeah.
Know?
Like, yeah, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Place on Ocean Avenue where you sit and talk with you. Thinking it felt so right. Sleeping all day, staying up all. Liquid death. Sorry, Texas Badass of the Week.
Our Texas Badass
nice
of the Week.
Nice outfit, by the way.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I like yours, too.
Thanks.
I feel like we did we coordinate?
No,
I didn't.
Nah, I dress like this all the time.
This is like my daily wear,
yeah,
actually,
all the time, dude.
I know, like we dress up in our Texas.
I came
gear.
Straight from the church, so
like that's. I actually, you know, I got a new job, computer programming,
oh, no
and
way.
So this is like my outfit.
Nice,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, I like it.
I just like I when I work hard, I want to.
Yeah, you want to. Yeah, when I'm yeah. sweating at my home office. Mm-hmm. I really like to,
you know, it's summer in Texas. That AC,
you gotta have gear.
Gotta have gear to suit
for it.
The environment. And you know, if I'm not wearing the right clothes, my heart just isn't in it.
Car fart, baby. Who's what?
Our what Texas badass. Texas badass. Our Texas badass of the week is Joe Carroll Benison. Denison. Joe Carroll Denison, who was born in 1923.
Okay.
And her claim to fame is being Miss Texas and then Miss America in 1942.
So she was ugly.
here's actually, she's got a really cool story.
Okay.
So Joe Carroll was born in a prison in Arizona because her dad, upon, you know, her mom being 9 months pregnant, was like, I would actually rather my child be born in California, where he's from.
Okay.
And so they started the drive to California from Tyler, Texas.
Okay.
Her mom goes into labor in Arizona, and she, the only doctor is the prison doctor in, like outside of Temple,
like
Arizona.
In, like, Yuma, Arizona, yeah, yeah. basically.
And so she ends up being born in a prison hospital.
No way.
Yeah. And so she's raised in Tyler, graduates from high school in Tyler, gets scouted by one of the pageant people to do this thing.
And, yeah, like Bill Clinton's grandfather.
Right, exactly. And so growing up, she had worked with her dad's what's called a medicine show. And if you remember, these little things are basically small rodeos. Okay. Really, really small, like dancing, singing, small pageants. And growing up, she would sing, dance, and do tricks on horses. So like she had talents from growing up doing this, this weird stuff.
X Games on horses.
Right. I mean, that's what it is, essentially.
Pastrana pulls off the first.
There's a good chance that this woman stood on a horse's back and hula hooped. Like, there's a good chance that's what happened.
Heck yeah.
So, after high school, she's basically trained to become a secretary. She gets scouted to do the Miss Tyler pageant.
Okay.
She doesn't want to do it. And finally,
she was that hot.
She, yeah.
Because you know, it's apparently the hottest ones that are like, right. No, I'm not pretty.
Here's what got her is they offered her as, if she won, she would get a very expensive swimming suit from a department store. So that was like, she was like, all right, I'll do it in case I want.
It's like the kind that goes above the knees.
Right, exactly. So she wins. Okay. And specifically, she wins the swimsuit category, which will be important later. So she ends up eventually winning Miss America.
Nice.
Huge
deal. Just goes up the ranks.
Now, keep in mind, 1942, what does that make you think of?
World War II.
World War II. So what she ended up doing.
43?
So what she ended up doing is doing a lot of what Miss America's do is like speaking to troops, and, you know, raising morale, those things.
Yeah.
After she wins Miss America, she flat out refuses to ever wear a swimsuit on stage ever again.
Okay.
She's like, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
One of her quotes was, I believe that I won because of how I felt, not how I looked.
Hey.
Striving toward that.
I like that.
She said, you know, I am going to go entertain the troops and remind them of what America stands for, not parade around them in my underwear. Mm-hmm. And that's what she did.
And that's why all the troops went, aww.
So her whole thing was promoting, you know, democracy and the American
spirit. How about a girl who's got a brain and always speaks her mind? Nah.
Believe it or not, I did have that thought.
Disney said that. That was a Disney quote.
That was a culturally diverse quote from Disney.
From Disney. Continue. Anyway,
if anything, that just tells us how much the Chinese hate women.
It's sad because it's true.
Oh, man. They threw their babies away. Anyway, so Joe Carroll dies in 2021.
Okay.
Oh. She was the oldest living Miss America.
She was an old bird.
Yeah. She was in her 90s, I believe. Nice. And, whenever Miss America eventually did away with the swimsuit portion, she was quoted as being like, you know, I'm so glad they did away with that because I think this should be a pageant about the totality of the person.
Yeah.
Not just how they look, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, she spent some time in Hollywood. She had a 7-picture deal with Universal, settled down eventually. She married a comedian for a few years, ended up marrying a producer after that.
That never works out.
And it didn't.
We know some comedians.
But she married a producer, had two kids, lived a wonderful life in Idlewild, California. But shout out to you, Joe Carroll. You are a badass.
I do love, it's not the way I looked, it's the way I felt. Especially.
Yeah, it's amazing, right?
I don't know if you've experienced this, but I'm sure you have, but I remember me and Jenny had been dating for a little over a year and she was doing her senior pictures.
Yeah.
And I mean, to this day, I tell my wife she's beautiful every day because I just see her and think, you're beautiful. And just, it blurts out.
It comes out.
She's the most gorgeous person I've ever seen.
We get it. You're alone with your wife.
I'm very
married. Seth isn't. It's fine.
Anyway, next episode. but I remember she was taking her senior pictures and a friend of hers had done her makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time that I heard her say, like, I feel pretty. Mm-hmm. And there was something about, like, her feeling pretty made her radiate even more beauty than I had ever witnessed in her before. And like, I just started crying. I was watching her take her senior pictures. Yeah. And I was just crying.
Because for the first time you saw her see herself.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think there's something when anybody owns their beauty or owns their strength, whatever
it
is.
Owning it. And there's
like feeling it. So there's, I do believe, I hope every man that is into women, or, you know, whoever your thing of interest is. What? I hate talking.
It's funny that you do that because
I hope that men who are into women do get to witness like their wife, their spouse, their forever person, like feel beautiful at least once. Because in my experience, I feel like women especially like struggle to believe that they're beautiful. Yeah. Like the thing that they can be most insecure about is the way I look. How sure. do I look? How do I feel? I feel ugly. I feel this way.
Yeah.
So like that little moment of seeing my wife like feel beautiful is still like one of my favorite memories ever. So love that.
Howdy, 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 y'all. Normally we bring you our not sponsors, but today we are excited to talk about an actual sponsor, Hydrate by Good Anya. You can go to goodanyaorganic.com to get Hydrate, which is an all organic hydration powder supplement. It contains only natural organic ingredients and no sugar at all. It's made of lemon juice, coconut water, stevia, and organic sea minerals. This is the best hydration product I personally have ever used. I take it every single day when I wake up and after my sauna, and I feel incredible. Completely organic ingredients. A good friend of ours introduced us to this, and I can't go a day without it. So get yourself some Good Anya. Get yourself hydrated.
Look, it's not the 1920s anymore. Everybody has a business or a startup of some sort, whether it's a side project, whether you've ditched the silver spoon and are going all in on your side hustle to make it a full-blown business, or you have a small business already, but you've hit a plateau in growth and you're trying to find different ways to turn your marketing dollars into legitimate revenue. Well, Creators Collective is here for you. They are a full-service marketing agency offering marketing, branding, logo design, copy, video, social media management, anything custom to your business or your startup or your side hustle that will help you grow your bottom line, grow your brand reach, and just feel like you have the best dang company ever because your marketing assets are frankly better than everybody else in the game. So what you need to do right now is go to creatorscollective.us and contact them to schedule a call and find how Creators Collective can help you grow your business for the long term. That's Creators Collective. Schedule a call and just grow your freaking business with marketing that freaking works.
So now we get to do our first
Lasso cast. We are big Ted Lasso fans here.
Lasso stan account.
Ted, oh man, I remember the first. I picked you up from the airport here in Austin. We were having a family reunion, and you were staying at my place the first night. Then we were going out to a place, and you were like, "Dude, you got to watch the show, Ted Lasso." And I'd never heard of it, so I just
So it's Apple TV. This is when it first came out. Yeah. Nobody had any idea what it was or if it was any good.
We watched the first episode, and I immediately think this is the best thing I've ever watched. It's amazing. It also doesn't...
So good.
People started watching, they'd be like, you're Ted Lasso. And I'm like, this is the greatest compliment I've ever gotten.
I mean, yeah. That's accurate.
So in true Texas fashion, as fans of the show, we've got to do a little bit of a recap. As of today, we're at episode three of season three. Episode four of season three comes out tonight. So when this comes out Monday, sorry guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, on the positive side, no spoilers, because like it already came out. Yeah. So we can talk about whatever. If you haven't seen Ted Lasso and you're going to, go ahead and tune out. Whatever. If you have seen it and you're not caught up, this is on you.
This is on you.
It's there. At this point, we're going to talk about everything.
Yeah. So first thoughts, just like opening, coming out of season two into season three. Just what are you thinking? What are you enjoying?
Out of season two into season three?
Yeah.
All right. So they've set up a lot of things, right? They're no longer relegated. We're coming into a new league. We've lost some players. We've gained some players. Mm-hmm. Things are feeling a little different, you know? So where I am going into the new season is Ted going to try to win?
Yeah.
Because up till now, it has been, I don't care about winning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole ethos, right? Yeah. And that's, oddly enough, I think what Ted is fighting against so hard.
Yeah.
Even in season one, mm-hmm. right?
Well, because there's that scene when
Beard's
like, God damn it, it is!
It is. Because and that's such a good scene because it's not expository at all. It's pure emotion, mm-hmm. and he's right.
Yeah.
He's like, winning matters. Yeah. Don't you understand? If we lose, we get relegated. Losing has consequences.
Yeah.
I understood this whenever we were...
Yeah, it worked
when they were kids.
But these are men.
This has ramifications.
This is their job.
Losing has ramifications. Yeah. Like, this is their job. Especially they will lose their livelihood.
Especially in this country.
In this league.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think shifts Ted's character.
Yeah.
Because he still is Ted. Like, that's not going to change. Yeah. But he does have to start grappling with, even like within his marriage, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the inability to let go of getting it your way in teaching the lesson and go for the outcome.
Yeah. No matter what lessons you bypass.
Right.
Because that's what we're seeing him struggle with far is like bringing Zava into the picture.
Okay. So we're jumping ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm like, as a small example, like season 2, season 1, Ted Lasso does not let Zava join the team.
It's a hard no.
He's off the reins now.
He was even like, even insofar as like bringing Jamie back.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big moment.
It's going to help.
It's going to help the team.
Yeah. There's still a lesson or two there.
But it makes sense within Ted because it makes more sense for Ted to bring Jamie back in.
Yeah. Especially if he's inevitably going to lose Nathan at the end.
Inevitably. Yeah.
Inevitably as of episode 6 of season 2.
Right.
Because Beard was like, never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk about that really quick, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
They were setting up where Beard was going to leave.
I don't know. I never read that, but
no, I didn't read that. But just the way the first few episodes of season 2 go, I thought, oh, Beard's gonna like leave or something.
See, I thought maybe, but then you watch the Beard at Night episode, that's and fair. I feel like that
good about it.
And when I went back, because I've got a new roommate, we watched from season 1, which I highly recommend. If you haven't watched this show, go watch it. It's amazing.
So good.
So it's a feel good show, good comedy, like really good acting, good,
and it's
good,
accurate.
It's so good. So we're watching it all the way through, and I'm watching Nate's progression.
Yeah.
Because I remember being unhappy with the turn that he took. But if you watch from season 1, it makes sense.
That's fair.
And it's completely justified every step of the way. Because even as soon as he gets promoted, he immediately starts going after Will.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
He becomes a bully.
Mm-hmm.
On a small scale. But he becomes a bully.
And it's kind of funny at first.
It's funny because you're watching somebody deal with having something given to them that they deserve.
Yeah.
But not believing in themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So he's in this position where he's only been bullied from people above him.
Yeah.
Until now.
Mm-hmm.
But he just can't help but dish it back
out. Try it, but it doesn't work because it's not...
Something that happens a lot with people who were bullied is they become bullies in certain areas.
Yeah.
And you see it happen immediately.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg, right?
But it is interesting to watch Nate turn his turn that part of him on.
Yeah.
Because he struggles with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that character, while it makes me mad, was very well handled.
Yeah.
And I think that was the intention.
I can agree with that.
It's a much better story if Nate goes bad and then comes back.
Fair. But do you think it's set up getting to season 3?
Yeah, please.
Is it set up where Nate, is the last episode going to be Nate meeting with Ted and Beard and Roy, like after the game, I'm sorry, and there's redemption? Or is it going to be like West Ham loses to Richmond to finish 1-2 in the Premier League and Nate just walks off? Like, are we going toward he's bad or he's bad and there's a little moment of redemption?
It depends on if Jason Sudeikis has agreed to a 4th season. Because initially, whenever they started doing this, Jason said three and done.
Yeah.
Which I respect.
Yes.
The question
is, I really hope he sticks to it.
I really do hope he does. I hope they do 15 episodes in season 3 rather than like expand to season 4.
Exactly.
Because this is what has to happen within the arc. Nate has to see Richard as a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
That has to happen.
Yeah.
But we're only...
Rupert, sorry.
Because he's a dick. So.
Yeah.
So Rupert, he's got to see Rupert be a bad person.
Yeah. And see that now, he's even been manipulated by...
Right. And we even see, you know, Hannah Waddingham's character talk about Rupert making you feel special.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what he's doing with Nate. Getting him a car, etc. And if you go back to when Nate left, that's why he left Ted, is he was like, you made me feel special and then you deserted me.
Yeah.
So we're going to end up with the same situation and Ted has to be there for Nate.
Yeah. To like have that redemption. Mm-hmm. Or maybe his dad.
There
could be a little moment.
There could be multiple moments. We don't know. That's my guess. That's how narratively it would make sense to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're setting up because you've got Rupert gave him a car. He's, you know, building them up, all those things.
The pundits are talking about how tactically incredible West Ham is. So he's getting compliments from the coach, from the pundits. Like, he's doing great.
Yeah. So he's got to lose it.
Yeah.
And then Rupert's got to abandon him.
Yeah. I mean, there's a scenario where he loses like one game, maybe to Richmond,
sure,
and gets fired immediately. Who knows? Anyway,
who knows?
So ditching narrative arcs and stuff.
Sure, sure.
Structure. We're film guys. Dad, I'm just watching Ted Lasso with my liquid death, all right?
Listen, don't... If I take notes during Ted Lasso, don't come at me, okay, yeah, bro?
Just because I enjoy
I have a podcast. I've got, on. Like, we're pretty big, yeah, you know? Like, look, you don't understand.
Just let me watch the show, Dad.
We're big anyway, in Europe. Okay. Like soccer, we're big in Europe.
What are you enjoying about season three so far?
So far about season three, I'm enjoying Jamie's character. Mm-hmm. I like what they're doing there. Yeah. I really, I like the pace that they're mm-hmm. pushing. Some of the episodes in the later part of season two were dragging a little bit.
COVID season. They were dealing with some COVID stuff.
They've clearly amped the pace up a little bit. So I like that a lot. Mm. And I like that Richmond doesn't suck. You know?
Yeah, finally. Because I remember last year, we talked about there was that game they had at Wimbledon. Mm-hmm. I think it was a big stadium. Big game, and it became comically bad. Like, they lost comically bad. And it was kind of like, it's like, they have to win. Yeah. I mean, at some point, they have to win.
And I like the way they're doing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, how do you feel about specifically the Zava effect? Like, what do you see happening?
One, I love it in movies and TV when a character is clearly parodying somebody.
Yeah.
And I love that Zava is so clearly a parody of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who's one of the funniest,
really funny,
incredible strikers of all time. Yeah. But when he came and played for LA Galaxy, and the first time he kicked a ball, he kicked it like 40 yards into the net.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Kimmel. The first thing he said is like, the people wanted Zlatan, so I gave them Zlatan. So clearly, that is who Zava is.
And it seems as though in real life, that person is in on the joke.
Yes.
Like that he clearly understands.
He understands what's happening. So there's that part of me that, and you've seen me do this with Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. There's that intellectual hypocrisy of like, is this a move that Ted Lasso would really make? Or like, it's team first has been the thing for so long. And even guys like Sam Obasanya has been like, should we really bring Jamie back?
Yeah.
But I guess the point here is Zava is so good, it doesn't matter how weird or erratic or non-team first he is. I will be curious to see, like, at what point does Ted snap as far as, like...
Right. When does Ted reverse?
You have to buy into what we do here. Because right now, the team is sort of...
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Huh.
I'm pretty predicted. Sure.
But I'm enjoying...
This is my prediction.
I'm overall enjoying the Zava effect, for sure.
Super fun. I think... Not this episode, but the next episode, Zava disappears. Whether he leaves them for a different team.
Or he goes to Coachella and hooks up with Billie Eilish.
Right.
Who knows?
Billie Eilish?
Eilish.
I've got a Billie Eilish. It's
over there.
It's the blonde.
But you know, so it's going to be something like that.
I think he's going to leave the team. And I think
he's going to go on the Aubrey Marcus podcast and talk about
DMT and all those things.
And they'll be like, oh, that's where he is. And then Jamie will ultimately take over.
Because it is interesting that Jamie is the only one.
Yeah.
He's like, this guy's not
good for us. Was it episode three where he says something about Zava being selfish and Beard's like, isn't that a bit ironic coming from
you? That was amazing, yeah.
And then what does Jamie say?
Like, he says, it's not ironic, it's hypocritical.
Hypocritical. And Beard's like,
and Ted's like, is that right? He's like,
yeah. I love it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So that's just a great classic Ted Lasso joke. So love that part. I like where Jamie is.
I like where he is. I like what they're doing with him.
I'm rooting for him now, so I want him to get more goals. I want that to work out. I'm a little like,
I'm excited about the training montage we're going to get.
For sure. That's going to be great. I'm a little... So Sam just has a restaurant now. Is he still playing?
He's still playing. Yeah.
Well, he was such a big part of last season,
right?
And now
they've kind of sidelined him a little bit, because they ended his relationship with Rebecca, and clearly Rebecca has to move on to something. But she's got it. They've done the thing with the matchbook, and they've set up another love interest for Sam.
Well, I mean, this last episode set up a lot of things.
It set up a lot.
Episode one was an opener. Mm-hmm. Great opener.
Great opener.
Episode two was just a classic Ted Lasso episode.
Classic Ted Lasso.
Jokes every moment.
I loved what we wanted.
When Jamie and Roy are having that moment, and Roy's like, don't tell anyone. I won't. And you don't tell anyone either, Will.
Yeah. Fishbowls.
Just such a good moment.
Drinks with
Episode
the boys.
Three was just, we are setting up every single storyline for the rest of the season. I don't know if you had this moment, but as soon as episode three opened on Colin and Bet Alone, I guess because we're used to this happening on TV shows now.
Sure.
opens on him in bed alone, and I'm like, he's gay.
Honestly, yeah. Like, I had that
moment. As soon as it opened, just thought, like, oh, gay storyline. Here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly. Which is cool, but it was just, it's become so predictable.
I'll say this, though. Here's why it's different.
Locker room, right?
Locker room, contextually, it does make sense because one, locker room, two.
Yeah, I'm not upset.
Yeah. Because there is a justifiably upset moment where you're like, oh, you're just going to make this character gay because you need a new storyline.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. And it, but it seems performative. But here it
does a little bit, especially because most soccer players are gay.
Soccer.
Comedy podcast.
So when he gets up, what I like is that the relationship is clearly one that he's invested in.
Yeah.
That is warm. That is like a good relationship.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that he brings him out with the boys.
Yeah. And he's in on
and
it.
He's in on
and
it.
And he's not
so
offended.
That was interesting.
So that was interesting.
And then, so what you have is Trent Crim seeing it. It's going to be a big part of the book. We had to have some drama. Or is it?
Because Trent is good now.
Right.
He wants to write a good book.
But he's still a journalist.
So we have that. So we have two storylines out of that.
What I liked about that is it makes us, the viewer, start worrying whether or not that's actually going to happen. Who knows?
And I do like that it makes us root for Colin.
It does.
There is that reality.
We needed Colin to like come out of being the butt of every joke.
Yeah.
And this is a good way to do it.
It's a good way to do it.
It's a good way to do it.
Yeah. To completely preface, I didn't mean the initiation of this is like, oh, gay story. No. I just meant like,
there is a way that you open that
story and you're like, Colin's gay.
Cool.
That's what I'm about.
Okay. All right.
That's more for, I don't know.
Also, of all the characters, you're like,
it would have been hilarious if it was Isaac.
I mean, yes.
Of course, bruv. So,
no, bruv.
Yeah, we have that storyline. Sassy showed up at the dinner. And Ted's depressed.
Ted is depressed.
So we're going to see where that goes. We still don't know who he was texting in season two. Do you remember the... There was that moment where we thought him and Rebecca were messaging each other online.
It was somebody else.
So who was
it? I'm assuming it's Sassy.
But what if it
was? But we didn't get clarification.
Yeah. I mean, so we don't know. Yeah, so we got that going on. Roy and Jamie are about to get real close.
Real close.
But also Roy and Keeley are still...
They're in limbo.
Something going on here. Yeah. And then Rebecca is fighting the fact that she still probably wants Sam.
Yeah.
Sam's trying to move on. So we're in for a good...
We're in for a really good...
Like six. Clearly, Danny is going to be the butt of every joke now. I think that's just now that Colin has his thing.
Right.
Isaac is the captain. Sam is getting with
Rebecca.
And
Danny's been really doing the jokes. Like he has been the punchline of a lot of the
physical comedy. He's leaned into it a little bit. So enjoying that. What have been your like favorite classic Lasso jokes of this?
Oh man, that's a good
question. Like the jokes you only get in Ted Lasso.
I like the joke where Roy throws Jamie's dessert against the wall. That's pretty funny. And then the best part of the joke is immediately after somebody walks by, like, really? And he's like, I'll clean it up. I like the humanity of
that. Yeah.
I liked, I'm trying to think of another one. What are some of your favorites while I'm thinking?
I mean, it's one of the first moments of episode one, but when Rebecca's like, you said it over there when you blasted half a bottle of Pellegrino in my face. And Higgins is like, what?
Well, and then when Zava is sitting at her desk and he's like, why are there crumbs everywhere?
I like that one. It's kind of these have all happened in Rebecca's office.
Here's my maybe favorite bit that kind of is not super funny, but it's my favorite, where Zava's addressing the team and he keeps stepping in front of Ted and Ted keeps moving.
Like that part's good.
I really, really appreciated that. I mean,
even the little, they have those little Roy beard moments.
Yeah.
I watched it. Pretty good. Why is it called Hoosiers? that part was good. Back in Rebecca's office when Trent comes like, so you mean to tell me that you're going to try and get a player you can't afford who doesn't want to play here all because you want to get back at your ex-husband?
Yes.
Like I just love that part. And then we have Keely having her own.
Keely has her own.
I think we might be setting up a Keely Jones series.
I think they might be trying.
It might break
that
off. That's
gonna
be
honest
like to me. Yeah, I know you don't like it that much, but
I really don't. Yeah. And it's because it doesn't add anything to the story.
Yeah,
it truly does.
Her being
it
with only, Roy does.
It does.
Yeah,
but if she's not with Roy and she's not involved in FC anymore, there's no real reason for her to be around.
Yeah,
other than the writers like her.
Yeah.
We're just getting to the point where we have too many storylines.
Yeah.
And if you got to pick and choose.
For sure.
So there, it doesn't contribute to the core storyline other than her relationship with Jamie and Roy. And they're not playing up that at all.
Yet.
Except for the fact that she's ignoring Roy. That's like, that's all we've got.
Where we're at.
And it's, I don't know, giving her the friend foil puts some growth on her because she's going to have to either make that friend grow or get rid of her.
Get rid of her and become really good friends with the CFO. CFO chick.
Yeah. Which is kind of what they're leaning toward.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm mad at it. I'm just like, you're writing yourself out of the story.
Yeah.
You are like taking away from all the things that are happening over here that we need. Mm-hmm. And there are things going on over here that are related to the central story that you could write more about and make B storylines, but you've chosen to do the C story.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I just don't like it.
Yeah. It's funny you saying all this with the card. Sorry, like as soon as he said C story, I was like, okay, film prick.
Okay, film prick.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't like that about me, but it,
I mean, we all do it.
And if those storylines were actually entertaining,
maybe they aren't for me yet.
But there was like 20 minutes where Keely's doing a commercial and it's all about introducing her friend character.
Yeah.
It's not good. Like, it's just not good.
I thought some of that was funny. Like, the goat droppings bit was funny. The, like, use a strobe light and use these cameras. I thought those parts were funny. They were more funny because she was doing the production side. And I was in the middle of having to produce some like work videos, and it was a nightmare. So when those casting people are like, we need 200 more people here in the next hour, it was just irrelevant.
The funny part of that is it's only funny if you've been in those situations.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have, you have.
Yep. Not everyone.
And by the way, clients are that. They absolutely are all exactly the that. They're like, well, let's just bring 200 more people in.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Let me call 200 people in the next 30 minutes.
Who will show up.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Who are
it's
free
like, oh no, right I didn't have a casting call that took 2 days to get all this
there's
together.
Not a process here. There's no paperwork.
And that's going to cost no money.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And then whenever her friend has like the perfect solution, you're like, okay, fine. But then her friend turns out to be useless. You're like,
well, she's not useless yet.
No,
she's
but
not useless yet.
That's all we've gotten so far.
We're going to get, I believe. Last question. Where are we ending? Where's this going? What's your predictions?
Depends on if this is the last season or not.
It's the last season.
Okay.
Purdue. KJPR is going to be a new show. That's going to be... I'm calling it right now.
All
right. Predictions.
Fair. Okay. My prediction is they lose to West Ham, but they win spiritually because Nate comes back to Richmond at halftime.
Ah.
That's my prediction.
Okay.
I think that even though West Ham wins the title, I think Zava goes to West Ham, and I think Nate,
there's a switch.
There's a switch, not the same time, but I think there's a spiritual switch.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you notice at the very beginning of the season, he's got Nate away from everybody, and his kid is like, why is Nate over here?
Yeah.
And he puts him back.
Puts him back.
So they've set that up. You know, don't show me a gun in act one unless it's going to go off.
Kill the cat. Yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah.
We get...
Save the cat.
Oh, I thought it was kill the cat.
It's save the cat.
Oh, don't kill the cat, right?
It's save the cat.
I thought it was kill the cat.
The book on screenwriting?
Yeah.
It's called Save the Cat.
Because no. I just hate cats that much.
Okay, so there's a training book that I read whenever I started dog training called Don't Shoot the Dog.
Oh, got it.
And I do have them in my library, but like, anyway.
Anyway.
That's pretty funny. What do you think is going to happen?
I think we're going to win the Premier League. I think because I'm just an all-in diehard fan.
You're a diehard Richmond FC fan.
So we win the Premier League
by
beating West Ham.
Sure.
Ted ends up with Rebecca.
Okay.
There might be a little sloppy writing here. They might end up making it his baby.
Mm-hmm.
Gives him reason to stay. Gives him purpose. He leaves coaching to
just be
a dad.
Sure.
And still be a part of Richmond. But the ultimate story arc here is beat West Ham to win the Premier League, be on top of the world. And for the most part, everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Roy and Keely end up back together. And yeah.
Okay.
And I just think it's going to be one of the greatest endings of all time.
I do think it's going to be a baller ending.
Yeah. Here's how much I love Ted Lasso. If it is Game of Thrones level horrible, I'm still going to say it was
amazing. I don't care.
Yeah.
It could be Game of Thrones level disappointing.
Yeah.
I won't acknowledge it.
Yeah. I'll go to therapy in 10 years and talk about it.
I'll be like, well, really what I think is this, but actually.
Yeah. So exactly.
Safe space. But.
So yeah, stay tuned for more Lasso cast.
Lasso cast, because if Yellowstone isn't playing, we're talking Lasso.
We're talking Lasso. And if Lasso's not playing, we're talking Yellowstone. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to go buy some Carhartt stuff at Academy Sports and Outdoors. They don't pay us to say that. We just thought we'd recommend we it pay for all you hard workers out there. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, growing on the Instagram, growing on the YouTube. So click all the links, watch some of those videos, and don't forget TexasPod.com merch. We're selling shirts. We've got the liberal tattoo sticker. We don't eat if you don't buy. So please go buy.
And I'm recovering from surgery and I can't cook, so I've got to order out a lot.
Want to feed the homeless?
Start with this guy.
Start with this guy. Bye, y'all.